ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20, Slokas 14 and 15. Sharibhi Sangatha Sindhus Chukshobha Swasanor Miman Apakva Yoginas Chittam Kamattham guna yugyatha Sharidbi sangatha sindhus Chukshobha svasanor miman Apakva yoginas chittam Kamattham guna yugyatha Sharibhi Sangatha Sindhus Chukshobha Swasanur Miman Apakva Yoginas Chittam Kamaktam Guna Yugyatha Sharibhi with the rivers Sangatha on account of meeting. Sindhu, the ocean. Chukshobha became agitated. Swasana, blown by the wind. Urmiman, having waves. Apakva, immature. Yogina, of a yogi. Chittam, the mind. Kamaktam, tainted with lust. Gunayukt, maintaining connection with objects of sense gratification. Yatha, just as. Translation. Where the rivers joined the ocean, it became agitated, its waves blown about by the wind. Just as the mind of an immature yogi becomes agitated because he is still tainted by lust and attached to the objects of sense gratification. Where the rivers joined the ocean, it became agitated. Its waves blown about by the wind. Just as the mind of an immature yogi becomes agitated because he is still tainted by lust and attached to the objects of sense gratification. There's no purport, so we'll go on to text 15. Girayo Varshadara Bir Hanyamana Navivyatu Abibuya Manavyasanair Yatha Doksha Jachetasaha Girayo Varshadara Bir Hanyamana na vivyatu
Hanyamana na vivyatu
Abibhuya mana vyasanair
Abibhuya mana vyasanair
Yadha doksha jachetasaha
Yadha doksha jachetasaha
Girayo Vashadarabhir Anyamana Navivyatu Abhibhuya Manavyasanair Yatharoksha Jachetsasaha. Giraya, the mountains, Varshadara Bi, by the rain-bearing clouds, Hanyamana, being struck, Navivyatu, did not shake, Abhibhuyamana, being attacked, Vyasanae, by dangers, yatha, as, arhokshaja chetasa, those whose minds are absorbed in the Supreme Lord. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Just as devotees whose minds are absorbed in the personality of Godhead remain peaceful even when attacked by all sorts of dangers, the mountains in the rainy season were not at all disturbed by the repeated striking of the rain-bearing clouds. Purport. When splashed by torrents of rain, the mountains are not shaken. Rather, they are cleansed of dirt and become resplendent and beautiful. Similarly, an advanced devotee of the Supreme Lord is not shaken from his devotional program by disturbing conditions, which instead cleanse his heart of the dust of attachment to this world. Thus the devotee becomes beautiful and resplendent by tolerating difficult conditions. In fact, a devotee accepts all reverses in life as the mercy of Lord Krishna, realizing that all suffering is due to the sufferer's own previous misdeeds. We can repeat the translation again. Just as devotees whose minds are absorbed in the personality of Godhead remain peaceful even when attacked by all sorts of dangers, the mountains in the rainy season were not at all disturbed by the repeated striking of the rain-bearing clouds. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschati Desha Tarine Om Ajnanatimurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This is a continuation of the description by Sukadeva Goswami of the rainy season. And after that, he'll describe autumn. Before we describe the qualities of this verse, these two verses, we want to acknowledge the auspicious occasion of the appearance day of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was considered to be, according to the Acharyas, such as Krishnadas Kaviraj and Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the incarnation of Srila Vyasadeva. Just as Srila Vyasadeva described the pastimes of the Supreme Lord in Srimad Bhagavatam, so Vrindavan Das Thakur described the beautiful pastimes of Sri Sri Gaur Nithai in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Originally, his book was called Chaitanya Mangal, but later, one great Vaishnava, Lochan Das Thakur, he wrote a beautiful poetic song describing the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he also called his book Chaitanya Mangal. So the Acharyas here in Vrindavan, they decided that Vrindavan Das Thakur's book should be called Chaitanya Bhagavat. And anyone, whoever they are, even if they're atheists, if they have the opportunity to read this book, to hear this book, Chaitanya Bhagavat, they become immersed in love for Sri Sri Gaur Nithai. Vrindavan Das Thakur is known primarily from his maternal side. His mother was Narayani Devi, who was the niece of Srivas Pandit. She was the daughter of Srivas Pandit's elder brother, Sri Nalina Pandit. And when she was a young girl, she was in the home of Srivas Pandit, just a four-year-old girl at that time. And this was when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have his nocturnal Sankirtan Leela with all of his devotees. And at one occasion, he displayed the Mahaprakash Leela. So Narayani Devi, she got the great mercy of receiving the full remnants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at one of his meals. And by tasting those remnants, she became imbued with pure Krishna prema. As a result of that, getting the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she gave birth to this beautiful son, Vrindavan Das Thakur. Her husband's name was Vaikunthanath Vipra. But unfortunately, he left this world before Vrindavan Das Thakur was born. And therefore, Narayani Devi, she went to the home of Vasudev Datta, who lived in Mamagachi, and engaged in domestic service there. Vasudev Datta was such a great devotee that three times Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared that I am the property of Vasudev Datta, he can sell me to whoever he wants. He was so dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So she took shelter there in Mamagachi, in Modadruma Dweep in Navadweep. So Vasudev Datta, he had a beautiful temple there, and Vrindavan Das Thakur grew up there and did his studies there. And as a young boy, he became associated with Nityananda Prabhu. And he loved Nityananda Prabhu so dearly that he became his last disciple. And he's considered the most dear disciple of Nityananda Prabhu. When Nityananda Prabhu left this world, he accompanied Janavadevi to the Katurigram festival. And on the descriptions of Nityananda Prabhu, he wrote Chaitanya Bhagavat. He was about 20 years old when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world. So he was present during the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu although he didn't see those pastimes. In the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, he's described as a double personality, first as Srila Veda Vyas, and second as a cowherd boy named Kusuma Pida. So that would make sense because he was one of the associates of Nityananda Prabhu. His mother, Narayani Devi, in Krishna Leela, she was the younger sister of the nurse of Krishna. The nurse's name was Ambika, and her name, I forget right now, starts with a K. Kilimbika. Kilimbika, yes. In our ISKCON, we have Kilimbika Devi Dasi. She was a great cook who cooked for Radha Landinishwara. Now she's left this world. So she was Kilimbika in Braja Leela. So Vrindavan Das Thakur, he lived in Mamagachi as a celibate, as a brahmachari. And later, he also accepted many disciples. One of his disciples was the nephew of Keshav Bharati, who gave diksha, the sannyas diksha, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So on this wonderful day, we celebrate his appearance. Now we'll go on to try to understand more deeply these two beautiful slokas that are described by Sukadeva Goswami. Sometimes, when we become very absorbed in the details of the slokas, just like when we're in a huge forest, we can't see the forest because we're looking at the individual trees. But actually, there's a wonderful description going on here that goes on from the 15th chapter up to the 21st chapter. So we're coming to the end of that description. And Sukadeva Goswami, in his ecstasy of love, he describes so many different pastimes during these five chapters. And sometimes, in his ecstasy, he describes one pastime before another pastime, although it happened at a different time. So, Srila Jiva Goswami, he made a time frame of how these pastimes all took place over a period of 3 years. Now, we know, because it's celebrated very jubilantly here, that when Krishna was just a young boy, he had come to live here. He very much wanted to herd the cows, like Nanda Maharaj did, he and Balaram. At that time, Jiva Goswami says Krishna was only 4 years and 2 months old. He was in the Poganda Leela, and they had a grand celebration, Gopastami, which means, because Krishna appeared in Bhadra, it was in Kartik, the Gopastami celebration. From that time on, every day he would go out into the forest and herd the cows with the cowherd boyfriends. So he was just a young child then, still in Poganda Leela. Now after that, Jiva Goswami says that the next pastime that took place was when Krishna was 4 years and 10 months old. And that was the day that Balaram didn't accompany him because his birth star, there was going to be a celebration in the home. So Rohini kept him home. And Krishna came here to Kaliyadaha, and that was when the Kaliyadaman Leela took place. Now, when Krishna had revived the cows and the cowherd boys, he then climbed up on the tree, he jumped down into the poisonous waters, and he was caught in the coils of Kaliya. At that time, all of the inauspicious omens spread throughout Braja, and the inhabitants of Braja came in all directions to find where Krishna was. Now, it took some time for them to reach. You can imagine running from Chatikara to Kaliyadaha. It would take a little time. So Krishna kept himself in the coils there until everyone had reached, because he was going to do a very special performance at that time. And especially, he was waiting for the young gopis to come. Because until this time, in the Poganda Leela, the only time the gopis, the young girls, got to see Krishna was when he left his house in the morning playing his flute, and when he came back in the evening to his home. They never really got to gaze upon Krishna other than these two times. And Krishna would play his flute and they would be very attracted. So when the gopis finally reached, and they came last because they were little girls, then he started dancing. And this was the first time, although everyone is in so much anxiety seeing Krishna coiled up by Kaliya, the gopis, they were in ecstasy because they finally got to gaze upon Krishna without anyone stopping them. And Krishna made a wonderful dance performance for them. So this was the beginning of when their love fully budded, just like a little bud, just at the start. So this was the summer of his fifth year, 4 years and 10 months old. Now the next pastime is not described until he's just crossing. He had finished his sixth year and went into his seventh year. And that means that there was a 2-year gap. Fourth year, and then fifth year, and then sixth year. Now during that time, although Sukadeva Goswami doesn't describe these things, Jiva Goswami, he describes what happens at that time. Because it's summertime when the Kaliya Daman Leela took place. And we know that after summer comes the rainy season. The rainy season is most appreciated here in Vrindavan, as we're all experiencing right now. When there's a rain, we're all so satisfied and we're nourished. So here, because the fourth year, the fifth year, and the sixth year, the rainy seasons came and went. So Sukadeva Goswami, he's describing now this rainy season. In the last rainy season, after Balaram has killed Pralambasura. But these rainy season pastimes were developing over these 3 years. And how they developed was like this. After everyone came back from Kaliya Daha, the next day they had a huge festival because all the food had been left there from the day before and nothing spoiled by the arrangement of the Lord. And they invited all the Brijbasis to celebrate because Krishna had defeated Kaliya. So all the young girls, they also got to come again. But by that time, they had become so immersed in love for Krishna by seeing him at Kaliya Daha that they were practically unconscious. And their parents were very worried about them. Why had they suddenly changed like this? So when they arrived at Krishna's home, Krishna, seeing their condition, he decided he had to alleviate them because he could understand what had happened. So, though a little boy, he started to play his flute. When he played his flute, then the gopis became conscious again. At that time, the parents, they realized, well, we've been keeping these gopis away from Krishna for their whole childhood, but the flute playing of Krishna is having a good effect on them. So we should allow them to spend a little more time with Krishna. So from this time onwards, they would allow the gopis to see Krishna more often at different intervals, infrequent intervals. So Krishna, when he saw the effect of his flute playing on the gopis, Krishna has two different types of dutis or messengers. He has the messengers who are his boyfriends and girlfriends and the different residents of Vrindavan. But he has two kinds of messengers that are called Svayam Duti. They're coming from him. And those Svayam Duti is what he engaged during these 2 years with the gopis. And that is the exchange of glances and his flute playing. He was trying to perfect his flute playing so that the gopis would be completely attached to him. So all day he would be with the cowherd boys and Balaram. And on the pretense of playing his flute for Balaram, he would try to improve his flute playing. And all the cowherd boys would enjoy it so much. Then, when the cowherd boys were enjoying his flute playing, he decided to try to attract the cows. So he would play for the cows. The cows would become completely stunned. And the gopis, they would see this and they would say, oh, these cows are so fortunate. We can't just stand there and gaze at Krishna like the cows do. Then he tried it on the birds, on the peacocks. The peacocks began to dance whenever Krishna played his flute. And the smaller birds, they became completely stunned because small birds are usually very noisy. But they didn't make any noise when Krishna played his flute. So all of Vrindavan, by Krishna's flute playing, became like a dancing arena. And the gopis, they were seeing the good fortune of all the birds. Then he went further and played his flute for the wild animals in the forest. Now the wild animals, they stay away from the human beings. But when Krishna played his flute, they all came to him and gazed at him, just like the does, the deer. They even came with their husbands. And the gopis were thinking, these animals are the most fortunate of all the residents of Vrindavan because they can just stand right next to Krishna, even with their husbands. So this was a developing. Morning and evening, the gopis were, with their fire arrows of their glances, they were shooting and worshiping Krishna. And Krishna was receiving that worship and glancing back at them. So these two different types of messengers were developing during these years when Krishna was 4 and 5 years old, even before he attained Kaisara Lila. Now, Sukadeva Goswami, he alludes to this because at the end of the Kali Lila, he speaks about the gopis. Then later on, he'll also speak about the gopis, that when they couldn't see Krishna, they considered one moment to be like 100 yugas. So now we come, after this development of love, and the rainy seasons. Now the rainy seasons were going on when Krishna was 4 years old, when he was 5 years old, and the gopis' love was being nourished by this rainy season. Now when the young cowherd boys realized that there was an attraction going on between Krishna and the gopis, they tried to break that up. So what they would do is they wouldn't let the gopis even see Krishna. So the gopis would see Krishna in the clouds, they would see him in the rainbow, they would see him, the lightning, they would praise the lightning. Radharani would praise the lightning and say, look how fortunate this lightning is in the rainy season. The lightning is with the cloud at all times. So they saw Krishna in all of the different manifestations of this rainy season. Balaram, he's compared to a mountain when he killed Pralamba. He was as heavy as a mountain, undisturbed, just like being described here. And Ujjvala, who was one of the dearmost friends of Krishna, he was a Priyanarmasaka, that means he even took part later in the Madhuryadas of Krishna. He described, just like in this text 14, although there's no purport, in the Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada translates one statement by Ujjvala. He says that all of the young girls of the world, they're just like rivers, and they're flowing to the ocean, and you're just like the ocean. Now these rivers of young girls, they're actually looking for the perfect lover. They might try to divert themselves, but ultimately all rivers must come to the ocean. So this is how they saw all the young girls of the world, how they were all flowing to Krishna out of love. Now, here, Sukadeva Goswami, he's describing that if one is a pakva yogi, if he's not mature in the yoga practice, he might become disturbed. Because Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita the antidote for an apakva yogi. In 270, he says, a person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So though Sukadeva Goswami is describing how those who, even if they're practicing yoga, they might still be tainted by lust and attached to the objects of sense gratification, well, Prabhupada explains in this 270 purport that so long as we have a material body, we will have material desires for sense gratification. It comes with the body. The happiness and distress automatically comes with the body. That's why there's no purpose in performing severe austerities, because you might torture yourself to get some happiness in the future, but the amount of happiness and distress that you're going to receive has already been decided when you receive the body. So the best thing is to become like the mountains. Now there's another description of mountains. Krishna is just like the ocean. He's compared all over the shastras to be like a massive ocean. He's so merciful. Just as all these rivers are flowing into him, how is it that the ocean, which is so grand, never crosses beyond its border? It stays where it is. That's because as the rivers are flowing in, by the mercy of the Lord, the pure water is being evaporated and made into clouds. And those clouds, they, in the rainy season, they're driven by the wind all over the earth. And the rain falls, particularly when the clouds hit the mountains, as described in verse 15. They hit the mountains, and then the rain falls. Now, mountains are very high. And many times, those mountains, when the rain falls, they fall in the form of snow. It's very cold in the big mountains. So this snow forms into reservoirs called glaciers. And this is Krishna's tanki. This is where he keeps the water, in the glaciers. And when, in the hot season, when the water is needed, in the form of rivers, the rivers come down as pure water. They go through the plains. They bring not only water, but they bring very fertile soil for the agriculturalists to do their farming. So everything is perfectly arranged from the ocean Krishna up into the clouds, hitting the mountains, coming down into the reservoirs, into the rivers, then the rivers go back into the ocean. And Krishna is so merciful that he made this planet 3/4 water. 75% of this planet is water, to make sure that all the living entities get sufficient water for their life, because water means life. Now, there's another description that when Krishna went to the Gurukula of Sandipani Muni, because Krishna is the ocean of knowledge, this knowledge he gave first, it came up, it was given first to Lord Brahma, and then Lord Brahma disseminated it through the Vedas. And Sandipani Muni, who's just like a mountain, he received that knowledge of the Vedas. And he kept that knowledge until Krishna and Balaram came, and then in the form of a river, he gave them that knowledge, and that river flowed back to the ocean of Krishna. So this analogy of the rivers and the ocean and the mountain are described many, many different times in the different descriptions of Krishna's pastimes. So now we're up to the 4th and the 5th year. The second rainy season has occurred. Now in the 6th, when Krishna completes his 5th year, he begins his 6th year. That's in the month of Bhadra. We know that's Krishna's birth time. Just a few days after that, when the tala fruits were ripe in Talavan, that was when the Dhenukasura Vada took place. And Balaram killed Dhenukasura, and all of the tala trees, all of the inhabitants of Vrindavan were able to enjoy those fruits. Now, finally, because we have heard in other portions of the scriptures that Prabhupada translates that the Balya Lila goes from age 1 to 5. The Pogunda Lila goes from age 5 to 10. And the Kaishura Lila goes from age 10 to 15. But Jiva Goswami describes that because Krishna and Balaram, they were sons of a king, Nanda Maharaj, and generally with royalty, the children are so much pampered and so nicely fed and cared for that they mature quicker than the other children. So that's why Jiva Goswami explains that after crossing into the age of 6, Krishna began his Kaishura Lila. And that is why when Krishna was coming back that day after Balaram had killed Dhenukasura, the gopis, for the first time in the Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami, he describes in that chapter how the gopis were so attracted to Krishna and their love increased more and more. So that was in Bhadra, again in the rainy season. And then the gopis, throughout that entire rainy season, because they also had attained that Kaishura Lila, normally, when any living entity attains the age of Kaishura or maturity, Cupid begins to attack. But before Cupid could even attack the gopis, Krishna was there, and he entered into their hearts. So they only had love for Krishna. Now, they were young girls, and according to the Niti Shastra, we'll read up ahead in a few slokas, that unchaste women, they're like lightning in a cloud. They'll go from one cloud to the other. And Prabhupada would very often quote Kautilya Rishi or Chanaka Pandit from his Niti Shastra about the qualities of a woman, both the good qualities, the Sri Ratna, and the qualities that we have to avoid. So everyone at that age, when Krishna was on the planet, they understood Niti Shastra. They understood that their daughters had to be married, even at a young age, because they had to be protected. A beautiful young girl, according to Chanaka Pandit, is protected in her own home. So therefore, each one of them individually, when they saw that the young girls were so attracted to Krishna at this time, each father decided, the only person eligible for my daughter to be her husband is Krishna. And each one of them wanted to marry their daughter to Krishna. Now Gargamuni, he could understand this. When Gargamuni came for the name-giving ceremony, he warned Nanda Maharaj that you will not be able to see the later sanskaras. Krishna won't be here in Braj. So Gargamuni knew that Krishna will go away from Braj for a very long time. And if the young girls were to marry Krishna, they would be forsaken by him at that time. He would leave, but then he would come back. So Gargamuni, he made a secret trip here to Braja. And he went to Purnamasi. Purnamasi, who was Yogamaya. And he told her, you have to arrange something to keep all these young gopis safe while Krishna is away from Braja, until he returns and marries the gopis. Because all over the Shastras, it's explained that Krishna is the eternal husband of the gopis. Everywhere it's explained. So Purnamasi, she made a plan. She went to all of the gopas, the fathers, and said, you're going to have to marry your daughters to the young gopas here. They didn't want that. So they went individually to Nanda Maharaj and said, we want to marry our daughter to you, to your son. Nanda Maharaj, who was told by Purnamasi that it's not the proper time for Krishna to get married, he had to refuse them. He told them, I'm not able to give my son in marriage at this time, but I will arrange for your daughters to marry very nice gopas here in Braja. So it was being arranged that all the young girls were going to marry the gopas. The young girls were very unhappy about this. and each one of them individually, because they had first seen Krishna at Kaliya Ghat. They decided, if we can marry Krishna, better we give up our lives. So they went, each one of them individually went one day to give up their life at Kaliya Ghat. And when they reached Kaliya Ghat, they saw that all the other young girls were there. They had never met each other before, because they were all in their homes. Who are you? Who are you? And they found out they had all come to Kaliya Ghat for the same reason, to give up their lives. So Radharani, who was the most beautiful of all the young girls, she took the hands of all the girls, they all took hands, they went to Kaliya Ghat, and they made a prayer. May Mother Yasoda be our mother-in-law. May Nanda Maharaj be our father-in-law. May Krishna be our husband. And may we play eternally in Vrindavan together. And then they started to enter the waters of the Jamuna. Then from the sky, the clouds, the devatas forbade them. They said, no, you cannot give up your bodies. You will, all of your prayers will be satisfied. You have to be patient. Then Jamuna Devi herself came out. She took the girls out of the Jamuna and she brought them to Purnamasi. And Purnamasi assured them, you do what your parents are asking you to do. You marry these gopas, and I promise you, you will be the wives of Krishna in the future. So they all agreed to that. They went back to their homes. And that was the time when the different groups of gopis were formed, because they had all met each other. Chandravali made her group, Radharani made her group. Then Purnamasi went to Krishna to inform him of the feelings of the gopis and what their prayers were, and to see if he had the same feelings towards them. So after discussion, it was revealed, although Krishna couldn't, he didn't want to reveal it, but he couldn't help but reveal it, that yes, he had the same feelings towards all the gopis. That this was all during the rainy season, when the gopis were looking at the clouds, looking at the forest, wondering, it's the same forest, it's the same trees, everything in Vrindavan is the same, but our hearts have changed now. We're only thinking of Krishna. So Krishna likewise was only thinking of the gopis. At that time, Purnamasi gave her grandson. She put his two hands into Krishna's two hands and said, you take him as your friend and he will assist you in your pastimes. And then, standing in the distance was Vrindadevi. So Krishna at that time gave the whole forest of Vrindavan to Vrindadevi. And it was at this time, when Krishna crossed into his seventh year, that these pastimes of love began to manifest here in Vrindavan during this rainy season. Now, Bhadra, rainy season, we go on further. These meetings, the messages, after the rainy season, we know comes the autumn season. There are no more clouds. So Radharani and all of the associates, they couldn't see the clouds anymore, and the clouds would give them great relief because the beautiful color would remind them of Krishna. But in the autumn, there are winds, and the winds would blow the leaves. And on the leaves, with their fingernails, they would write notes back and forth between Krishna and the gopis. So that way, in that autumn season, they were still able to associate with Krishna from a distance. Now coming up is the next hot season, the next summertime, when Krishna is 6 years and 10 months old. That is when the Pralambasura pastime took place. So they're all jumbled up because Sukadeva Goswami is speaking in ecstasy. But Jiva Goswami, he explains in this 3-year period how the rainy seasons took place, how the love was developed, and how the sequence of events occurred. First the Kaliya Daha, then the Dhenukasura, then the Pralambasura. And after Pralambasura is killed, the forest fire in Manjutavi forest that was sent because Pralambasura He came in great pride, thinking that he could capture Krishna and Balaram, put them on his shoulder, and take them back to Kamsa. But instead he was killed by Balaram. And Balaram at that place, he is compared to a powerful, heavy mountain that Pralambasura couldn't tolerate. So devotees also, as in this sloka, they're compared to mountains. Because devotees, they remain fixed. And Prabhupada explains in the 270 purport that if we want to be fixed like a mountain and we don't want to be agitated with the flowing of the desires like the rivers into the ocean, we must take shelter of the instructions of our Guru Maharaj. Because the instructions of the Guru will keep us fixed like a mountain. And fixed like a mountain means that even in great agitation and in great force, when these clouds and the rain hit the mountain, we will not be disturbed, simply by taking shelter of the instructions of the Guru. And of course, Balaram is the original Guru. He's the Adi Guru. So he is compared to be as heavy as a mountain in the Pralamba Leela. So now they're coming back again after this Pralamba Leela, and again the gopis, they're seeing him, and they're wishing that there's some way that they could meet him and increase in their loving affairs with him. So this will take us from the rainy season, in this last rainy season, when Krishna is in his seventh year, through the autumn season, and then into Margashirsha. And it's at that time, when Krishna is in his seventh year, that chapter 21 begins. And chapter 21 is the Venu Geet. So there's a gradual undercurrent within these leelas. On the surface, Krishna's killing the demons, Krishna's going into the forest and coming back. But Sukadeva Goswami, he's giving little hints to prepare us for this chapter 21. When the gopis, they openly express their love for Krishna. Now, but not directly, as in with the Gopi Gita. In the Venu Gita, to hide their direct love for Krishna, they speak about Krishna and Balaram together. They say, look how beautiful these two brothers are, Krishna and Balaram. So they're still pretending to just be like young girls appreciating the beauty of Krishna and Balaram. But in the meantime, through the development of these 3 years, from age 4 to age 7, all of these feelings of love are being developed within the gopis and within Krishna himself. And the culmination comes when we come to chapter 21 and the gopis finally express their love through this Venu Geet. So this is a little description and elaboration of how Sukadeva Goswami is preparing us, because all of us, we're all tainted. We're all apakva yoginis. None of us can claim to be pure and unagitated. Everyone has their material desires. Only the Guru is like the mountain. Sandipani Muni, Balaram, our own gurus, they can protect us from this onslaught. So Sukadeva Goswami, in his descriptions of Krishna Leela, he's giving us little drops of preparing us for the future coming pastimes that Krishna manifests with the gopis in his 7th and 8th year. So I'll stop here if there are any questions.
I was thinking, I was practicing the body. So I sometimes blame someone to change something worse.
I can't understand you.
So whenever someone is blaming us, criticizing, or saying something, we are not in the target.
Yes.
And we immediately
answer. Get a reaction. We give a reaction. Yes.
So how often this gets impossible to do? So
Yes. Well, that's the difference between an immature practitioner and a great sage who's like a mountain, who's not disturbed by all of these attacks. So the only way we can become like a mountain is if we take shelter of the instructions of our spiritual master. And the instructions of the spiritual master, they come in the form of, for instance, every day we chant the Sikshastakam, so we hear how Lord Chaitanya tells us, Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishnuna. So it's instructions like this that will strengthen us so that we're not disturbed in any cause of agitation, whether it be criticism, whether it be lusty desires, whether it be hunger or thirst, or whatever Krishna is sending to us, because the mountain-like great devotee, he sees all disturbances as simply reactions to something he might have done in the past. He sees everything that way. He never sees anyone as the cause of his suffering. He sees his own actions as the cause of his suffering. And when we see things like that, then we can remain tolerant. That yes, this suffering, this enjoyment, this is all predestined according to my previous activities. I simply have to tolerate. And just as the summer season and the winter season comes and goes, this misery will also come and go. Honor and dishonor, all of the dualities, they come and they go. And that's what a mountain-like devotee, that's his mentality. That none of these dualities can affect me because I know they're just from something I did in the past and I just have to tolerate.
We see here Lord Krishna is amazing initial fulfillment. So, Guru Sangha Mahatma is comparison, giving comparison to initial unique, it's like the ocean. Because there are different standards of the ocean, those in the initial. And
what's the question? What's the question? Clarification. All right. There are descriptions of the rivers that flow into the ocean. Now, when nature is working according to the desire of Krishna, according to the plan of Krishna, where the rivers enter the ocean, they're called deltas, like the Ganga Sagar. They're the most fertile and the most desirous places to live because all of the soil, all of the clean water is all coming to that area. But nowadays, because of dams, because of irrigation, because of pesticides in agriculture, all of the rivers have become polluted throughout the whole planet. All the rivers are polluted now. And they're dammed up so they can't even reach the ocean anymore. Right? What's being described here is the perfect situation. In the rainy season, the ocean, which is always Sut, the ocean is compared to Sut, and the rivulets are compared to Asut because they flow here and there. So the ocean is always grave and sober, because the inflowing and the outgoing is constantly going on, so it always stays the same. But now, especially in this Kali Yuga, everything is unnatural. The rivers are stopped from flowing into the ocean. And the water, therefore, cannot reach, because the rivers are compared to wives and the ocean is compared to the husband. They can't even reach their husbands. So many, many analogies are given between the river and the ocean. Even the wives of Krishna, when they were feeling intense separation from Krishna, they saw the rivers that had all dried up. They said, "Rivers, are you suffering from separation from your husband, the ocean, just as we're suffering from separation from Krishna? You have all dried up. You don't no longer have lotuses in your waters. The waters are not even running anymore. We feel the same way." So this, it's called an analogy. Analogy means so that we can understand our situation better by looking at the forces of nature. So when we understand that the river's flowing and the ocean always being still, then we can see our own situation, that when these material desires flow into us, we have to remain as sut or as grave or as sober as the ocean is. Although at the meeting place, there might be some agitation. Just like Ganga Devi, she was in the heavenly planets, and she was in Brahma's courtyard. And by the wind, her cloth was blown away from her body. So those who were very virtuous, they immediately covered their eyes. But there was one king who looked at her very lustfully, and she looked lustfully back at him. As a result of that, Brahma cursed them both, that Ganga, you'll have to come and take birth on earth, because the earth is the place of all the fruitive activities, and that king would have to take birth, and you'd have to marry. So we have a choice. When there's agitation, we can choose how we will react to that agitation. We can remain sober, or we can allow ourselves to be overcome by that agitation. And that, depending upon how strictly you're following your Guru Maharaj's instructions, that's what will save you from the agitation. Especially when we're preaching in Kali Yuga. You see these billboards, you see the girls, the way they're dressed nowadays. There's every opportunity to become disturbed. But if we remember, we're trying to save these people, not that we become affected by them. We have to uplift them. So that's keeping the spiritual master's instructions so that we can be steady like a mountain. Okay? Jai.
So my question is, whatever we are enjoying now is the fruits because of whatever activities I've done in the past. So all these credits I'm trying to exhaust, but I don't do anything now.
All those credits,
whatever good activities I've done, I'm going to get some result. I'm trying, if I don't do anything, I'll just say idle. So I'm trying to exhaust everything. But if I do something now, some good activities, I'm going to deposit something back so that I can enjoy the future.
Everything changes when you become a devotee. Yeah, that's the trick. All of your karma gets erased. Whatever the good you do, that's why the pinprick is described. You should have had your arm cut off, but instead you get a pinprick as a devotee. So all of these things are eradicated when you take shelter of the lotus feet of your spiritual master and Sri Krishna. The happiness, the distress, all gone. Because Krishna will do whatever he wants with his devotee. He'll make him like a king, or he'll make him like a pauper. He'll send him to the heavenly planets, he'll send him to hell, wherever the preaching is required. So once you surrender, once you take your vows and you follow them, Krishna's got you by the neck, and you don't have to worry about your past karma. Okay? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.